For our first reading this morning, we turn to the book of Exodus in chapter 12, and we'll read the first 28 verses. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 28. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herb they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. You shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore ye shall observe this day in your generations by an ordinance for ever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations, shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb, according to your families, and kill the Passover. and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and I will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons for ever. And it shall come to pass that when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away, and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Our second reading is found in 1 Corinthians and chapter 5. 1 Corinthians and chapter 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and had not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for them as ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or as a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God shall judge. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. May God bless to us his word.
Well, good morning and happy new year. Thank you for your patience with me this morning. Yeah, and I've been 100% this week, so I'm very grateful to you for your patience, and especially to Ken for leading our service so faithfully there for us. Let me just take a moment to pray with you very briefly before we come to the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us through 2022, with all of its ups and downs, with all of its changes, with all of its uncertainty and fears. For the times in which we were worried and afraid, you've proven yourself to be unchangeably faithful and true, kind, loving, compassionate and careful with all of your providences towards us. All things have worked out for our good and for the glory of God. We thank you, Lord, that such is your desire, that all things that are good for us are tied up with those things which are for your glory. And so, Lord, we bless you for these things and worship you. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask you to give us of your Holy Spirit afresh today, the beginning of the year, that we might turn to your word again, see Jesus Christ crucified, and so be built up in our faith. Amen. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, and verse 2 is our text this morning. This month shall be your beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. You know, the New Year celebrations that we are enjoying at the moment, and the New Year celebrations that our fathers in the faith have enjoyed since Exodus 12, they're remarkably similar for Christians today as they were for Christians then. And people say, don't they, at the beginning of a year, they say, New Year, new me. Have you heard people say that? New Year, new me. So, how many of you have got your gym memberships sorted out? Or your diet plans all planned out and on the fridge, what you're eating and not eating? How did our fathers in the faith do New Year? Well, according to Exodus 12, they observed the Feast of Passover every year, and immediately after the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread every year. What they do, you see, is they dress up on Christmas, they dress up on New Year like they're about to leave. They put their jacket on and their boots, they'd get their staff and whatnot. They dress up as if they're about to leave. They'd roast an entire lamb, and then they'd eat the whole lot of it, and they'd eat it in a rush. They'd no hanging about. They'd eat really fast. They probably felt rather sick afterwards, I imagine. And then for 7 days, any bread that they ate had to be unleavened. That means flat, not risen. What's that all about? How are those New Year celebrations? Well, what they're doing year on year on year is reliving the event of Exodus 12, where a lamb was sacrificed to save and to keep them safe if they sheltered under its blood. They're reliving that time when they had to leave so quickly that their bread didn't have time to rise, turning their backs on an old life and pressing into a new life, following the Lord to a new home. Does that remind you of anything? It so clearly points us, Passover and unleavened bread, to the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross and the new life that he gives us, that Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians 5, Jesus, our Passover Lamb. Justin Martyr was writing around 150 AD, and he went so far as to say this: the lamb that was roasted in Exodus 12 had a stick going all the way through it and a stick going across to separate its legs. And there, he said, you see a picture of the cross that it foreshadowed. Maybe you think he's a bit far-fetched, but he gets it, doesn't he? The Passover is all about the cross of Jesus Christ, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread is us turning our backs on an old life and pressing into the new. In that the lamb was a sacrificial death on their behalf to save them from death, it was a rehearsal of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when they were acting together there on this night of Passover in Exodus 12, they knew that they were rehearsing something that they would do again and ultimately. That's why the lamb had to be, in verse 5, male, like the Son of God, perfect, sinless, like Christ, eaten whole, that is, they had to take hold of it by faith and say, yes, here is my life. In verse 10, it had to be completely consumed, like an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord, like the Lord Jesus Christ was. In verse 7, the blood of the sacrifice had to cover the people in order to keep them safe, just as the Holy Spirit applies the blood of Jesus Christ to us, that the judgment of God would pass over us and we would be set free. But there's more to it, isn't it? You've noticed that reading through Exodus 12. There's more to it, the New Year celebrations, than just the sacrifice of the lamb. What's this about being in a hurry? What's this about flat bread? Well, the New Year celebrations were, on one side, all about refocusing themselves upon the sacrifice which saved them and set them free. And on the other side, the New Year celebrations were about the new life which that sacrifice gets for them. So how is that? Well, this first Passover and unleavened bread was eaten sharpish, you see, because they had to immediately get out of there. They had to run off from Egypt, leave it behind, and run towards the promised land following Christ. They were so quick that their bread didn't have time to rise. That's the whole point about it all being flat bread, isn't it? They are leaving behind the old life of slavery and suffering for a new life of following Jesus Christ, walking in the Spirit all the way home to the throne of the Father. That's what their new year was all about. The sacrifice that sets them free, and then them turning their backs on the old life and heading for the new. You know, when we think about Passover, we generally think, don't we, the night of Exodus 12. But our fathers in the faith, when they heard the word Passover, they thought, the night that we left Egypt. That's slightly different, isn't it? You get that all the way through the books of Moses, Deuteronomy 16, verses 1 and 6, Numbers 33, verse 3, and there are plenty others. The talk about the night of Passover is the night when we left Egypt, the night when we left that behind, the night when we pressed on now into a new life, a new pilgrimage, following Jesus to the promised land, following him all the way home. And so every single new year, they had their annual reminder, their annual encouragement, their annual reenactment even, of the Exodus. Every year they would do it again and again and again. What do you think they thought about it? What do you think they thought when every year they put on their getting out of here clothes and they got their lamb and they roasted it with the bitter herbs and they followed this instruction and they put all of the leaven out of their house and only ate flat bread? Once again, they are focusing themselves at the beginning of the year, like we often do, refreshing themselves, taking stock of their priorities and putting things in the right order, getting everything right. New year, new me, they're thinking. Focusing their life and their time around the sacrificial lamb. Remember verse 2, this is the beginning of months for you, the first month of the year. Everything gets refocused, even their time of year, around his sacrifice when they left behind the old life and pressed into the new. Once again, every year, reorienting around Christ crucified, as it were, as the beginning and the foundation of their new life, deliberately turning their backs on the old way of living, rededicating themselves to a new life, lived in the Spirit, following Jesus. And this whole scene of the Passover, the unleavened bread and the Exodus, it's like the whole Christian life, isn't it? Summarized in this in one movement. It begins with the Father in heaven providing his Son as the Lamb of God to take away our sins. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is crucified, slain, and burned up completely, bearing our sin. And then the Holy Spirit applies his death to us, and we hide underneath it, just like they hid under the blood of the Lamb, so that his death becomes our death, and his life becomes our life. And what's our part in that? What do we do? Well, Moses says in Exodus 12, your part now is to set your watch by it, to set your clock by it, to set your calendar by it, to reorient your life and time around Jesus Christ crucified for you. Your part now is to say yes and amen to what the Father, Son, and Spirit have done for us in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and setting us free for a new life. Our part is to turn our backs on the old life and press into the new. This means, once again, every year, refreshing ourselves all the time, saying no to sin and yes again to good works and to righteousness. Martin Luther famously said, didn't he, that repentance is not a one-off, but he said that repentance is the entire life of the Christian. The whole life of the believer, he says, is to be one of repentance. And so every year at New Year, we refresh this. And every day, we pray, Father, forgive us our trespasses, and thy will be done. All the time, over and over again, Christians repenting and believing every day. And New Year's is a great time to rededicate ourselves to that discipline. So when we see Exodus 12, and we consider how it parallels then into the Christian idea of turning our backs on our old life every day, pressing into the new life every day, on the foundation of Jesus Christ crucified for sinners, we realize that New Year has always meant the same thing for believers. It has always meant rededication to the gospel. Reconfession that the Father has provided a sacrifice to take away my sin. A renewed resolve to believe that my sin has been put away and he has given me a new life. Resolved to see the death of sin in our own lives and to live in obedience to Jesus Christ, following him closely all the way home. That's what New Year means for Christians. To refocus again on Christ crucified and to live for him. What's the reputation of these people then who observed the first Passover in Exodus 12? Do they have a very good reputation? Are they famous for their faithfulness? For their resolve and their rededication? Not at all. If our fathers in the faith of this generation are famous for anything, they're rather infamous, aren't they, for being stiff-necked, fickle believers, always forgetting the Passover, always forgetting the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In fact, long periods went where they never even observed it, in the land later on. They're forgetting it all the time. They're always looking back. Do you remember that in the wilderness? Always looking back to Egypt. If only we could go back, they said. Longing for slavery, longing for suffering, longing for the old life that they left behind. But New Year comes around again. And it refocuses them again. Again and again and again, it comes back around and around and around. No matter how many times they wander away and become fickle and long for the old life and let the Lord down and grieve the Holy Spirit. Every year, New Year's comes again. And they're focused again on Jesus Christ, who has taken away sin and has given the Holy Spirit by whom they can live a new life. Are you famous for your faithfulness? Are you famous for never looking back, always progressing, never falling back into sin? I don't have any besetting sins. I don't think anyone is, are they? We're all infamous like these. We're always falling back into the old way of things. We often grieve the Holy Spirit. Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from my body of death? The sin that is still in my body clings to me, drags me down. I'm constantly looking back to the old life, as it were. Our life isn't marked by the good works that we wish that it was, the progress that we wish to make. Our prayer lives, oh, if only my prayer life was better than it is. And New Year's comes round again, doesn't it? And again, we are reminded that the Father has sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world, to take away our sins, to give us the Holy Spirit, that we may live a new life. And again, we are refocused, reoriented, rededicated to the life that he's given us to live. This evening, we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper. It's good, isn't it? It's good after a message like this one. It's no accident, you know, that the Lord's instituted the Lord's Supper at Passover, having taken the Passover meal, where he and the disciples refocused themselves upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the Father has given his Son to be the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world, that at that point, when they're refocused on these things, he gives them the Lord's Supper and says, "This is my body, this is my blood, broken and shed for you." It's to focus them on that and to focus us again on our response to him, that we are to take of his sacrifice and to follow him and obey him. So there you are, there's your plug for this evening. Come this evening for the Lord's Supper, where we're going to make good on our fathers in the faith in Exodus 12. We're going to make like them. We're going to take the Lord's Supper and refocus ourselves upon the Lamb that was slain to take away our sins. And we're going to say, no matter the mess I made of 2022, I'm going to rededicate myself. I'm going to turn my back on the old way of living, and I'm going to obey him and follow him again. How did the apostles apply this sort of stuff then? We've got Exodus 12 and all that that means. We've got the Lord's Supper, which comes from that, the sacrifice of Christ, turning our backs on an old life and rededication to the new. But what do the apostles do with that? Well, that's why we had to read 1 Corinthians 5. Paul is addressing a gross sin in 1 Corinthians 5, isn't it? It should probably come with a little parental warning at the top of the chapter. It's pretty grim stuff, isn't it? A real terrible sexual immorality that you can read there in the first verse. How would you address such a thing as that? Paul knows that it absolutely must be dealt with. Not only is it sin, not only is it disobedience, but for him, one of the particular aggravating factors is that it's a sin that's not even tolerated in the world. And so it brings the name of Christ into disrepute. So we must deal with it. How would you like to deal with a problem like that? Or what passage would you go to? Maybe Exodus 20 and the commandments. Maybe something from Leviticus that talks about the limits on this sort of behavior. But Paul doesn't do that. He takes them instead to Exodus chapter 12. You see there from verse 6 through to verse 8, and he refers to the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He sees the Christians who are sinning, who are living the old life, and he says, listen, don't you remember Exodus 12? It's interesting that he's speaking to Gentiles in particular here, isn't he? Don't you remember Exodus 12? We left that old life behind. Leave it behind again, he says. Leave it behind again because Christ, our Passover Lamb, was sacrificed for us to set us free to a new life. We have all stumbled our way through 2022, haven't we? By the grace of God, we have grown in grace. He's promised that, and so we have. He has been sanctifying us by his providence and by his Spirit all year long. We have been fighting sin by the Spirit. But every day we have fallen. And every day, by the grace of God, we get back up and he forgives us as we repent of our sins and resolve again to obey him. Shall we do it again today? On New Year's, let us make like these Christians of old and reorient ourselves around Jesus Christ, our Passover Lamb, who was sacrificed for us. Let's put him again at the center, just like we always have done all the time. Just keep doing it, put him at the center again. And let's receive from him fresh grace. Let's receive from him fresh forgiveness for all of our sins. Let us look again to Jesus Christ, lift him up, and say, yes, here is the beginning of my new life. Here is the foundation of my leaving behind a life of slavery and sin. Here's my freedom. Here's my liberty. Here's my forgiveness. Here's my God. Here is the foundation of the life that I live in the Spirit. Let us repent again. Let us believe again. Let us give ourselves over again to good works that are done in the Spirit. Let us run the race of life with our eyes freshly fixed on Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. That is such a Christian privilege and joy, to do that again and again and again. And here we are at the beginning of the year, the first day of the first month of the year, and we get to again put Jesus Christ, our Passover Lamb, at the centre. And you know what? Sometimes it can feel silly, because we know how fickle we are. We know that it's not just this time next year that I'm going to have to do this again. But I'm going to fail. I'm going to falter. I'm going to sin. I'm going to struggle. I'm going to let him down. I'm going to be stiff-necked. I'm going to be looking back to the old life. Well, what happens then is you just do it again. He's so faithful. He's so patient. He's so kind that we get to turn to Jesus Christ again. And tonight we'll do it particularly around the Lord's table, and put him and his crucifixion at the centre of our lives, set our watch by it and say, yes, here is the beginning for me. And we are assured that as the years roll on, as surely as the years roll on, so does his grace roll on, and his mercy rolls on, and his forgiveness rolls on, and he restores us and he builds us up day after day after day. So there's the New Year celebrations that we get to enjoy, and from the New Year celebrations of our fathers in the faith, putting Jesus Christ at the very centre of our lives, focusing ourselves around his cross and the Feast of Unleavened Bread that shows us turning our backs on the old life and heading into the new, something that we do time and time and again, this rededication. May God bless his word to us then. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we ask you to please forgive our weakness and to apply your word to us as you see fit. We pray, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Spirit to be given to us, that the word which comes to us would achieve that for which it was sent. We're sorry for how frequently we have fallen away, Lord, how frequently we have looked back to Egypt, as it were, how often we have let you down, grieved your spirit, and not lived according to the new life that you've given us. We have lived lives that, Lord, need to be reoriented again. But Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit whom you've given to us, who pulls our hearts irresistibly towards your grace in this way, that we long and look for and seek and strive for that cross of Jesus Christ once again. Father, we pray that you should give us grace to fall on our knees at the cross of your Son again, to put him at the centre again, and to ask again, Father, forgive me. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. We ask, Lord, for your kingdom, your rule and influence, your power to come and be manifest in our own lives. We ask for your will to be done over and against our own sinful preferences. We pray, Lord, that you would be the orbital center of all of our passions, thoughts, and desires. Lord, we pray that you should lift up Jesus Christ high above us and our people and our families, that we may see him and be saved. And we pray that you should give us over to a repentance and faith and a believing striving after him, in whom is all of our life. Amen.